Let's go. Wake up, gentlemen. It's late. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. All right, listen up. You will follow Doc, myself, and the other coaches. We're going to take a little run through the woods. If you get lost along the way, don't bother coming back to camp. Just hitchhike your hind parts on home. Any questions?
Coach, it's a high school football team. We're not the Marines here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here is painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. They killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
So 1971, the town of Alexandria, Virginia, the school board was given the command of bringing and integrating the schools there. So they had two high schools. They had one all-white, one all-black high school, and they were instructed by the government that they had to integrate these schools. So they had to integrate coaching staffs. They had to integrate players. They had to integrate two schools, and it became a very much heated debate in this community. I love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies, I can tell you that. I love the game of football, and it really reminds me a lot that Coach Herman Boone reminds me of my first coach that I ever had. And man, Mr. Perkins, he was something. I actually had a chance to stop by and visit him on Friday. I was in town where he was at, and I went by his house and knocked on the door, and it's been about 12 years since I've seen him, and I took him a second to recognize me, and then he's had two strokes. But once the light came on and he recognized me, we went right back to the early 80s, man. We were there, and we began to talk and visit, and he told me stories that when he came into the league, that he was the first black coach to be invited into the league, and when he did, all the assistant white coaches quit because no one wanted to coach under a black head coach. And he said, "Your dad was the first white man to ever come and coach with me." He goes, "I had so much respect for your dad because he was the first white guy who ever signed up and stuck with me and supported me as the head coach." And he went on, and he had the task of taking, even though the schools had already been segregated in the area because of where communities laid out, that even though the high schools were segregated, that the elementary schools were still pretty much segregated because of community. Most of the people lived over here, this race and this color and different ones. And so he was given two schools so that he'd be sure to integrate his teams. And so I didn't realize I played for one of the first integrated elementary schools in our area. And it was just an amazing thing. We began to win, and as he won, people began to hate him because he was winning, and they tried to kick him out of the league and end up, it's just an amazing story. They tried to shut down the league, and he started the brand new league that all the communities in the area got behind. They said he couldn't coach at the field that we were playing on. And so he ended up raising money and building their own field. It was just an amazing story, and we talked about the time. So when I watched this, it reminds me of a lot They won a state championship at T.C. Williams. I won a state championship, and all the teams I played on was integrated. So this story really hits home a lot to me. And I love this story because we see where Coach Herman Boone was given this task of taking two coaching staffs and coming together, taking a black school with a black team and a white school with a white team and bringing those together. And it was such a heated debate back then because the city didn't want it. The players didn't want it. The coaches even didn't want it. So he had the impossible task of uniting these teams together. And let me say this to you, that no team can become a champion unless they have unity. No, there's no team that ever becomes champion unless they have a spirit of unity. And you show me a team that wins the Super Bowl, I'll show you a team that's walking in unity. And that's why sometimes you'll see, well, how did this team make it this year, and then they didn't make it the following year? Usually just even a small couple of things can change. They don't have strong unity in the coaching staff, or the players, a couple of them get out of sync, and they don't bring unity, and then you have inner locker room strife, and they just lose that chemistry. But the teams who go on to have a lot of success, they flow together in unity. And unity is a big thing to Jesus. If you didn't know this, Jesus cares a lot about unity. Matter of fact, John 17, verses 20 and 23, Jesus actually prayed over you and I about the spirit of unity. Look what he says. I am praying not only for these disciples, he's talking about those that he was presently teaching, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And that's us. These disciples went out and gave their life, and they spread the gospel. They started churches. They raised up other pastors and leaders, and the gospel began to spread. And because of them and their sacrifice, now we are here as a result of that. And Jesus says, I'm praying for those people. That's us. If I pray that they will be all be one. Look what he says. I pray that they will all be one. Let's say that word together. All be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. So Jesus is saying, I want us to be one just the same way that Jesus and the Father are one. Wow, he really expects us to walk in unity. And he goes on to continue this prayer. Father, that I am in you, and may they be in us also, that the world will believe you sent me. He goes, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. And I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. Let's say that they may experience perfect unity, that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So Jesus prayed this prayer over us, and he expressed his desire is that we would be one and we would walk in unity. Why? Because when the world sees us walking as one and in unity, they will see that Jesus is the way. They will see that Jesus is the light of the world. They will see this. Why? Because we're walking in one and we're walking in unity. And in case you didn't get it, John 13, 35, just another one of many scriptures that back this up. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He didn't say, you know what? Every time you post a scripture on Facebook or Instagram, the world's going to know you're a Christian. He didn't say, every time you check in at church. Now, that's a good thing. I like it. Keep checking in. That's free advertising for the church, so keep checking in. But he didn't say, just because you check in at church, that the world is going to know you're a Christian. He said they will know we are his disciples by our love one for another. This is how the world will know that Jesus Christ came to give his life, that Jesus Christ was sent from the Father by the love we have one for another. This is his plan, that we would walk together in unity. Our love, our unity, it will reflect that Jesus loves the world. And I love this movie because in this movie they are fighting players. The white players are battling against the black players. They're like, man, only the black players are going to play for the black coach. And only the white players are going to play for the white coach. And the two head coaches are now going to come together as one. And the coaching staff, like, is he really going to coach and have my back? Is he really going to want to see me succeed? Is he really for me? So even the coaches are doubting each other. The players are doubting each other. So Coach Boone takes the team up away out of their environment. And he sticks them camping together and living together and doing two-a-day practices together. And they're up there, and of course they're fighting in the dorms, and they're breaking out into fist fights, and they're not getting along. They're only sitting with the black players, are only sitting with the black players, and the white players are only sitting with the white players. So he makes them integrate. He makes them room together. He makes them sit by each other. He makes them learn about their families and learn about their personal details. And then finally we see this conversation between team captain Jerry Bertier and Julius Campbell, and they begin to have this, one's white and one's black, and they start having this fight about, man, you got so much. The captain, man, Julius, you got so much talent, but you keep missing this every time. You don't make the tackle every time it comes down, and you're not tackling, you're not giving your best effort, but man, you got all this God-given ability. And he says, why should I try? Why should I try to use my ability when you won't even speak up against the white players who won't block for the black players? He goes, your white friends, they're intentionally blowing the block so that the black players look bad. And you want me to get out here and give it 100%? I think not. And that conversation started something. Then later on, the next day during practice, we see finally where the captain steps up and begins to yell at the white teammate, his friend, who was not blocking for the black running backs and quarterbacks. And we see something happen here that changes the outcome of the rest of the season. It changes the outcome of a city. Look at this moment when the team unifies.
What was that, Ray? Whatever it is, it ain't blocking.
Give me a break.
You want a break? I'll give you a break. Me and Julius.
Wait. Just let them in.
Get to rev once, just one time. I swear to God, I'm going to hit you so hard by the time you come to. Ooh, boy, you're going to need a new haircut. You understand me? Let's play, fellas.
Run the ball. Let's run it again.
Let's go. Run it up. Run it up.
Hey! Let's go.
All right.
You all right, McPeedy?
You all right?
You really stuck him, Campbell.
Yeah, I love me a little contact, Petey.
This is left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
Left side.
Wrong side.
So we see something amazing happening here. The team unifies. They come together. No longer is it black versus white. Now it's offense versus defense. And the whole team unites. They begin to focus on what they have in common. They begin to like each other. They begin to discover about each other, laugh at each other, tease each other. They bond together as brothers. And what happens is it brings healing to the whole team. And because of that, it brings healing to the whole staff. And the whole staff begins to integrate and work together. And then they go to school. And because of what happened at camp, the whole team brings healing to the whole school. And because the whole school is healed. And because they're coming together and the team's now unified, they start winning. And all the moms and dads and the community comes out. And they used to sit on one side and the other sit on the other side. And they looked at each other like those people. But now they're there and they're cheering for their boys who are playing together, and they're winning, and they have a common purpose, and all of a sudden healing comes to the whole city because of some people who decided to operate in unity. See, if a player's goal is self-centered, look at this. If a player's goal is self-centered and not team-centered, there's no unity. And if you have players who step up and say, what's your goal for the season? Well, my goal is to lead the league in rushing. And my goal is to be an all-star. And my goal is to have the best highlight film. My goal is to get the best contract. My goal, and all these things are individual goals. If that's the goal, and then what you'll see happen is this, they have no team chemistry. But the teams who succeed, the players say this first. I'm team first. Whatever's best for the team. Wherever I need to play for the team. I like catching the ball 10 times, but if I need to block more than I catch, that's okay. It's team first. I like running the ball, but if I need to back up and help the guy out, if I need to be a blocking back instead of the main focus, I'll do that. I need to play this position because we're stronger if I play this position, even though I'd rather play over here. That becomes team first mentality. What's best for the team? And those teams will go on to succeed. And what happens after the success, then all those other things will follow. The contracts will be there. The awards will be there. The recognition will be there because they're champions. But people who are self-centered, they don't do that. And so today, Romans 12, 4 and 5 even backs this up. It says this, that just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. Right? So my thumbs and my fingers have a special function. My hands, my arms have a different function. My head, my ears, my nose, my mouth, they all have a different function. My legs, they have a different function. We all have different functions and we all belong. Even though we're different, we all belong to the same body. See, look at this. Unity doesn't mean we're all the same, but we are unified with the same purpose. That's what it means. We need to know that we need people who are different from us because they make us stronger. And in case you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you today, let me break it a little clearer. We need more black people in this church. We need more Mexicans in this church. We need more Filipinos in this church. We need more white people in this church. We need more Asians in this church. Why? Because we're stronger when we bring diversity together. We're stronger because we learn one from another. It's not that we're all the same, but we all have the same purpose. It's working together in unity. So how do we do that? What can unify us? If we're all different, then what unifies us? Number one, we got to realize, first of all, and understand who our enemy is. We got to understand who our enemy is. You know, it's hard for me to cheer for the Chiefs because I was raised up a Cowboys fan. I grew up in Oklahoma, and so I just automatically like the Cowboys. And I don't dislike the Chiefs, but I just grew up watching my team. But you know what? One of the Cowboys' biggest rivalries is the 49ers. And so it's easy for me to say, I hope the Chiefs beat the 49ers because I don't like the 49ers. Are you following me here? You see, it's easy when we unite and we understand who our enemy really is. When we understand who the enemy really is. And let me break it down to you this way. You got to know who your enemy is. And our enemy is not the church down the street. My enemy is not other Christians. My enemy is not people who vote differently than I am or who are a different race than I am. My enemy is not those people. My enemy, the Bible says, come to kill, steal, and destroy. I got to be focused and know who my enemy really is. It's not each other. It's not each other. Our enemy is not each other. It's not the churches around our community. No, my enemy is the Satan. My enemy is that we know that the gates of hell is coming against the kingdom of God. That's my enemy. We got to unite against that purpose. So we must unify in our purpose. What is that? We must unify in our purpose. We must learn to love God. We say it here, right? Learn to love God, to love others, and teach them to do the same. What is our purpose? How do we unite? I want you to come, and I want you to love God like you never have before. I want you to learn that, you know what? Man, I want to fall in love with the person who gave his life for me. I want to love him and learn to give my life in full surrender to Jesus Christ. I want to learn to love him with my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. I want to learn to love God. And I want to challenge you. Let's unite in that purpose that we love the Lord. I love his word. I love spending time in his presence. I love worshiping him. I love serving him. I love giving to him. I love the Lord. I want to love God with everything I have. We unite in that purpose, and we unite that we want to love others. We got to love others. We read it all through. They will know because we love them. We will know we are his disciples. They will know that Jesus came from the Father by our love one for another. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. We'll know by our love. Let me put it to you another way. We want to love others, right? So let's love the hell out of people. Let's love them. Let's love them, man. We get a community of people who do not know Jesus, who are dying and going to hell, and it should bother you, it should bother me, it should bother us. We got to love them, and we should make it hard for people to go to hell in this community. We should love them and let them know that God loves them and that someone loves them, and we unite in that purpose. My purpose is this. I want to love people out of the gates of hell. I want to love people, man. I want to love. Some of you have children. I want to love them into the kingdom of God. We want to do things that maybe they'll come back to church. Maybe they'll come on a day like today when we're wearing our Chiefs jerseys and our different jerseys and having fun because we want to get them. We want to love them into the kingdom of God. We want to love people. This is what we're commanded to do. We can unite in that. This is how we come together in unity. Loving God, loving others, and then we're simply teaching others to do the same. Who are you going to reach this year? Who are you going to reach? Who is it that you know needs to know the love of Jesus? Show them the love of God. Who can you reach? Show them the love of God. I want to bring this person, this coworker, love them into the kingdom. It's team first mentality, right? And for us as Christians, it's got to be kingdom first mentality. It's kingdom first. God, I put the kingdom of God first. What do you want me to do for the kingdom of God? God, how can I serve the kingdom of God? God, how can I live the kingdom of God? How can I proclaim the kingdom of God? How can I live it out? It's first, what does the kingdom need for me? Then everything else will fall in the line. See, we got to be a part. Every player must do their part. Everybody coming to Destiny Church, man, you got to do your part. You got to jump in when possible. What do we want every player to do? I want you to grow. Man, I don't want you to stay the same. I want you to grow in your knowledge of who God is. I want you to grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to grow in knowing that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. We want you to grow. Don't stay the same. We can all grow. I want you to grow. I expect you to grow. I'm going to push you to grow. I'm going to challenge you to grow. And I want you to give. Learn to give into the kingdom. Learn to give. Yes, I want you to give. We make no mistake about it. We want you to give of your time. We want you to give of your resources. We want you to give of the money God's given you so we can do more things like we're doing today. We want to give to the kingdom, and we want to serve. Listen, you got to serve. Well, I don't really want to do that. I'd rather do this. Well, I know, but are you needed here? Team first, kingdom first, right? I promise you this, you do what's needed and it will open the door for what you want to do. That's the way it works. It always happens that way. I do what's needed and then God always opens the door through my serving. It opens the door for more opportunity because he says those who are faithful in the small those will harvest more things. They'll see the greater things in the kingdom of God. You got to be faithful in the small things, willing to do. What happens? We got to have a team first mentality. We got so many places. We need you to serve. We need you to be a part. Listen, you don't have to serve every day. We have so many different ministries. Some of these you can serve once a month in. I mean, one time a month. But man, can you greet? Can you teach the children? Can you clean the church? Can you serve on a security team? Can you join a prayer team? Can you get involved in a connect group? Can you get involved with the men and the women? Can you serve in an area? Listen, when somebody comes and gives their heart to Jesus, it happens because somebody was here cleaning the church, vacuuming up, making it presentable for those who come in to the doors. There's somebody here greeting them, shaking their hand, saying welcome. There's somebody here watching their children when they check in. There's somebody here who's been practicing music so they can usher in the presence of God and prepare hearts to receive the word of the Lord. And when somebody gives their heart to Jesus, it's not because Pastor Gene did this. It's because we all did it together. It's team ministry. And we all play a part, and we all got to be a part of that. Be a part of the team. Jump in. Just don't be a fan. Jump in and serve. Get involved in the game. Every player must do their part. I love this statement. Look at this quote. Individually, we are one drop. But together, we are an ocean. No, it doesn't seem like a lot, does it? It doesn't seem like a lot. I don't have a lot to give. I don't have a lot of resources, a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of things to give, Pastor. It's okay. But when you give yours, and you give yours, and you give yours, and you give yours, and you do yours, and we all around, it adds up. And it makes a big difference because it creates an atmosphere of unity. And if you want to find out what happens in unity, you just read the day of Pentecost and you'll find out what happens when people unite together. If people operate in a spirit of unity, I'm talking about God shows up big time with a people who have a heart for unity. God dwells in the spirit of unity. God shows out in the spirit of unity. God's spirit reigns in the spirit of unity. People are coming and running to the altar in the spirit of unity. People are coming and dropping to the knees and saying, I surrender my life to Jesus when there's a spirit of unity. I mean, things begin to break in the spirit realm when there's a spirit of unity. Today, we're going to look at one story, and we're going to prepare to give our offering, our one-day offering. I believe God is going to do something so big through this offering. I believe God is going to break something in us today. God's going to do something. He's preparing our hearts that we're going to come together and unify. We're going to give our offerings to help some children that will never, ever darken the doors of this church. We're not going to receive one thing back from this other than, I believe, because we're going to operate in the spirit of unity, and we're going to help some children who are close to God's heart, that God in return is going to break something in our lives, and there's going to be something released in the spirit of unity of destiny to another level like we never experienced. I want you to see this little girl's life, and I want you to see how your offering can make a difference in even one person's life.
Convoy of Hope is a faith-based organization that brings the love of Jesus to those who are impoverished and suffering. One day to feed the world is your way to bring all of that to those we help. So, how can you take part? It's simple. Give one day's wage through One Day to Feed the World.
One day transform my everyday.
It's tough for me to share my story because it hurts. After we came to live in El Mongo, our mom abandoned us. My dad remarried, and his new wife treated us really good. They had my sister, Anna, but not long after that, Anna's mother died. When Anna's mom died, she gave her to me to take care of. Now, Anna treats me like her mom. She calls me Mommy. Until recently, my dad didn't have permanent work. Sometimes we didn't see him for 3 or 4 days, and we would starve. The worst part was having little kids ask you for food, and you had nothing to give them. The pain they feel, I feel, I never expected it to be this way, but if I have to suffer, I'm going to suffer, especially for Anna. Today they gave me soup, and it was delicious. I ate it all. The first thing I do every day is thank God, because the food that Convoy brings is a really big help for the kids here. When you're hungry, you feel weak, and it's hard to concentrate on your homework or exams. But when they give me food, it's different. I can concentrate and do good at school, which is going to help me a lot in life. Before my siblings were in school, I used to feel really bad because I was the only one eating. I would eat just a little and take the rest home. They would be so happy when I provided for them. Next year, Anna will be in kindergarten. That's going to be one of the best days of my life because I want her to receive an education. Through all the punches I've received in life, all the suffering, I've learned a lot. I learned that you don't give up. And now my faith is bigger than my suffering. God gives me strength to keep going. For me, hope is to have faith. Never give up and keep fighting for what you want.
Today we're going to prepare to give our offerings, one day offerings. And we're going to bring the baskets along the front here. These great baskets are going to sit in the front. In just a minute, we're going to come to the front. We're going to bring our offerings. And I know some of you have given on PushPay. If you want to give on PushPay, you can do that. There's a drop box. If you're making checks out, you're making them out to Destiny Church. If you're giving on PushPay, I would like for you to grab an envelope if you have it. Just bring it up here. Drop it in the basket. This is a symbol of, hey, I'm joining, I'm unifying with the church and giving. I believe that Jesus today is going to be pleased. I believe today we're moving the heart of the Father because we're unifying together in the spirit of unity. And we're going to minister to some kids who really need this ministry. A convoy of hope is such a great ministry based out of Springfield. Feeding almost 200,000 meals a day to children around the world who are needing and hungry. This is a great ministry. 90% of everything you give will go straight to the field. Only 10% goes back to administration, which is a very low for a nonprofit this big. They've been certified. They've been audited several times, and they received a 5-star gold standard for through their audits. They are very, very much people of integrity and with a heart to really reach people and to reach children and women especially. So today, when you bring your offerings up, we're going to have you stand on your feet across the room. I want you to bring your offerings and place them in the basket. And after you get done with that, we're going to take time to pray over these baskets and believe that God's going to do something really great in their life. Come, let's bring your offerings. Offering today. Let's pray that this offering will be used as God's hands and feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, I thank you for people who are obedient. I thank you for a church with a heart to give to the children. But what a blessing it is to lead this group of people. God, and today I pray that through their obedience, God, as they follow the lead that I've asked them and they've prayed about it and they've done it, God, I pray today that God, you begin to do something very special in their life. God, you're breaking something in our lives. So God, you're allowing us to come into a spirit of unity. And we pray over this offering that God, as it travels around the world, ministering to hungry children and opening up the door to the gospel, God, I pray that, Father, children's lives are changed for eternity. Women's lives are changed for eternity. Men's lives are changed for eternity as someone who cares enough to feed them and to let the gospel come to them in a way that they can understand. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for faithfulness of giving. I pray the Father becomes a seed of blessing that will multiply around the world. And Father, right now we speak Lord, that out of this offering, God, there's going to be missionaries raised up, pastors raised up, Lord, strong businessmen and businesswomen raised up, that, God, they're going to make a worldwide difference because someone cared enough to give. And, God, we call out all those things over them, and we speak over this, Father, in Jesus' name. We love the chance to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to be a part of the miracle of the feeding of them thousands. God, I thank you today. You're going to multiply it now. God, it's going to multiply. I pray that businessmen will step up and match this giving, that business will donate to this giving. And God, it will multiply. It will grow and become your hands and feet. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Put your hands together. Amen. Let me tell you this, that if you would like to get one before you leave today, back at the hub, we have a little round sticker that says one day giving. You can wear it to work tomorrow. And if people ask you what that for, you can say, man, I'm giving my offerings. I'm giving today's wages to feed.